for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, March the 25th, 2005. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Dale Copeland of Western Oklahoma is the teacher.
We'll turn the rest of the morning over to the Copeland family. And it has been requested that Lady Junie Copeland sing for us. I've been listening to her sing and play for a long time. And she's a sweet psalmist of the Lord.
This is a song that our oldest son wrote, the Lord gave him.
I worship you, for you alone are worthy, a mighty God deserving of all the praise I breathe. My everything, to you I humbly bow down, and I will lift my voice now and sing a song of praise. Lord, to you our hands we raise, for you are worthy to be praised. And I worship you, for you alone are worthy, a mighty God deserving of all the praise I breathe. My everything, to you I humbly bow down, and I will lift my voice now and sing a song of praise. Lord, to you our hands we raise, for you are worthy to be praised. God deserving of all the praise I bring, my everything, to you I humbly bow down, and I will lift my voice now and sing a song of praise. Lord, to you our hands we raise, for you are worthy to be praised.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with the heart of thanksgiving, I will praise Thee, O Lord. Let's just go real slow. With my hands lifted up and my heart filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless Thee, O Lord. I will bless Thee, O Lord. I will bless Thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless Thee, O Lord. With my hands lifted up with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless Thee, O Lord. I will bless Thee, O Lord. I will bless Thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless Thee, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. Oh, You are worthy of our praise. To You our hearts we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Oh, You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. Oh my God, worthy of our praise. To You our lives we raise.
You
are awesome, 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 mighty God. One more time. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
You
are awesome in this place, Abba Father. Oh, You are worthy, worthy. To You our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Mighty God, mighty God, we worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. Awesome, 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 mighty God. I bless You, Father. I bless You, Lord. I bless You, Lord. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Wonderful is His name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I bless You, Jesus. I bless You, Jesus. I bless You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy
Lord.
Holy Lord, holy Lord, holy Lord. Mighty, mighty, mighty God. Oh, my soul,
and all that is within me,
bless
His holy name.
Oh,
bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me.
Hallelujah.
He has done great things. Oh, bless His
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to the Most High.
That's the greatest trick of the enemy that there is to get you to believe you ain't got what you got. That's the truth, folks. That's the truth. People are trying to get to where they are. He has set you in heavenly places, and people's trying to get there. You know what? That is the same lie that the serpent gave Eve in the garden. Trying to get people to believe they don't have a position, that the Father has not given them a place in God, and religion has kept us trying to get to a certain utopia, a certain place, and we've already been given all things. He hath blessed you with every spiritual blessing. How many others is there left? That's what it says. And our religion says, oh, well, now, you know, but we better explain that because we don't see it. All you're trying to do is take away from what God's Word done said. If we start believing what God says instead of what Satan says, we'd have some different results. You see, the serpent told Eve, said, well, God doesn't know, you'll be like Him if you eat this tree. Well, duh, God done made her in His image and likeness. She already had it. But the lie was to convince her that she didn't. The lie was to convince her that she had to do something to attain something God had done given her. Same way today. Church world's receiving it. We swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. And it's brought the same result, too. Brought the same result. What's that? We got crickets? I hear a whine and a real high-pitched whine. We've worshipped the Lord before where we was worshiping in an old schoolhouse before we built our building. And the schoolhouse didn't have bathroom facilities and things in it, so it was tough. And when we moved out of the other building into the schoolhouse, we lost a lot of people that had to go to the bathroom very often. Well, they quit coming to church. There wasn't no group of woods out back somewhere you could go to it, you know, where the building was. But anyway, well, I looked out one day, we was worshiping the Lord, and the presence of the Lord was just so precious. And, my God, I heard hundreds of people worshiping God along with us. And I opened my eyes, and they wasn't 25, 30 people there. Closed my eyes again, hundreds of people was worshiping God. Beautiful, beautiful presence of the Lord, and the Lord made me to know it never did matter about the number, that there is more of us than there is of any of them. No matter what is against you, there's always more. All we need to do, look, I don't need to see the devil. I need to see Jesus. I need to see Jesus. I've got to see Jesus. And you know what? He's the light. If I walk in the light, what happens? I'm cleansed from all sin. I have fellowship with Him. You know, I like to have fellowship with Jesus, don't you? Don't you? Praise the Lord. I think there's so many things that we are dealing with in the church world today and facing that we have put off into the future that absolutely is not a future event, but it's a present tense thing and has been present for 2,000 years since the cross. I don't know how much greater you can get a hold of than, as I said last night, than Christ in you. I don't know how much greater it can get than the Holy Ghost in you, the kingdom of God in you, and the kingdom is with power. So, I don't know what people are waiting on or waiting for, but I know why they're waiting on it and why they're waiting for it. It's because they've been lied to by the serpent, saying they didn't have a lot of things, so therefore they was hoping to get it. You know, a lot of people pray and it's like they try to talk God into giving them something. But He's already gave it to them. It's yea and amen. It's already done. That there's nothing left for God to prepare. The table is ready. Come and dine. Come and dine. The food's ready. You can eat from the Master's table. The oxen have been slain. The table has been spread. And you can absolutely eat from the Master's table anytime you're hungry enough. But the thing is, see, people say, well, the presence of the Lord just came and it didn't just come. You know what happened? You just got aware of it. You started gearing your mind and your heart in that direction, and so you begin to feel the presence of the Lord.
God don't, listen, if he lives in you, don't have to come. He came down 2,000 years ago. He came down and blessed us. But we don't have to have him come down and bless us. He took up his abode. See, he didn't come down and go back up. He come down and stayed. But what is happening is we relate to that as if he has left us and now we've got to talk him back into to bless us. When really all that's happening when you get blessed is you have just got yourself in a place that you become to be aware of his presence. An individual said one time, they stood up in church and said, "Oh, I wish the Lord moved the way he used to." And there was something in me, it's been many years ago, I wasn't a pastor then, something in me roused up. It didn't ring true. Oh, God, there used to be miracles. There used to be this. And oh, you could just feel the presence of the Lord. And the Lord said, I'm like electric wire. Anytime you get a hold of me, you're going to get a jolt. I'm always present. I'm always alive. I'm always moving. We just ain't touching Him that often. It's not that He's not moving. It's that the people of God has quit moving. I want to share with you today, I titled this, Things That Happen to Heaven. Now, I'm sure that you're going to hear things that, because I don't have time to break everything down, but I don't want to choke no one to death either. And I trust that you will take this as corn. If you that are spiritual will understand what I'm saying. You take this as corn, it's not bread. Okay? You're going to have to take it home and grind it and bake it. Okay? Because I cannot take the time to break it all down today in fine and put it together and give you a loaf of bread. I'm going to give you some corn. I'm going to give you the makings of bread. And you can plant it, you can throw it out, or you can make bread with it. It's up to you. But I'm telling you, it's been bread to my heart and bread to my soul, and it's been an enlightenment that has changed forever my walk with God and my life with God. Things that happen to heaven. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Well, I've learned to ask questions. I don't like to think in the box that the religious world has put us in. I'm not afraid to ask, and I'm not afraid of the answer. And the reason I'm not afraid of the answer is because I don't care what the answer is. I just want the truth. Right? If you just want the truth and you don't want to make a scripture fit your theology, you're apt to see something different once in a while. And so when it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth," I got to know which beginning. I want to know. Oh, well, the beginning of the beginnings. God is without end. You think only 6,000 years ago He said, "Hey, I think I'll do something." In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, the word "was" there is Haya, and without form is Tahu. And the word Haya here in the Hebrew is it's the same word that's translated where Lot's wife became a pillar of salt. When she looked back, the scripture said she became the pillar of salt. It, not that she always was, but she became this. Now, like I say, I just want to tap this for you that I want to. My desire is to arouse your curiosity enough and to stretch your mind enough that you'll study. Let's read it like this: "The earth became tahu and void." It became that. Well, the reason I say that is in Isaiah 45 and 18. And by the way, void there, tahu, is desolation or desolate. It became desolate. A worthless thing, matter of fact, it's figuratively in the Greek or the Hebrew meant. It became in confusion. It's translated, tahu is translated confusion, empty place, without form. In Isaiah 45:18, it says, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He established it, and He created it not, tahu." Now, isn't that interesting? The King James translation says, "And the earth was that," and Jeremiah says He didn't create it that way. All right, let's read I got so much I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. Jeremiah 4, chapter 4, verse 23. I can catch us up to speed and not have to read a whole bunch of verses quickly. If you'll start reading, we're not going to read it today, but if you'll start at verse 16, or actually start about 8 and read through 31, you'll catch what he's talking about. I'll tell you what he's talking about. He's talking about God is getting ready to judge the house of Israel. He's judging his people. And he said, verse 22, "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." Verse 23, "I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void." Sound like what we just got through reading in Genesis. But you know what? He ain't talking about the earth that we're thinking of when it says earth here. Let's go on. "And the heavens, and they had no light. And I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. And I beheld, and lo, there was no man." That's what it said in Genesis. "And all the birds of the heaven were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness." If you go on down, verse 28. Oh, let me finish. "And all the cities thereof was broken down." You mean there were cities where there was no man. There were cities where the earth had become without form and void, and the heavens had no light. The same language that was in Genesis chapter 1 is in Jeremiah, where God is speaking of judging His people and the things that's going to take place. And in verse 28 says, "For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black." Now, if you want to know, it says all the birds of the heaven were fled. Now, there was no man. In Jeremiah 5, verse 1, it says, "Run you to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know and seek the broad places thereof, if you can find a man." There was no man. See if you can find a man. What for? "If there be any that executeth judgment that seeketh the truth." Sometimes where it says, "and there was no man," there's no man to do what God is intending to be done. It doesn't mean that there isn't nobody. See, I give a little puzzle to our church every once in a while, and I might have given it here at some time or other. Sometimes the services run, and I don't know for sure what I said last time I was here. But anyway, I got a little puzzle that I asked people. I say, "Can you make one word out of the word new door?" Boy, people start, all right, let's see, figuring out if they can make one word out of new door. And you'd be amazed at what comes up. And finally people say, "Well, yeah, you know, I got this or I got that," or some say, "Well, it can't be done." And I said, "Yes, if you take and spell O-N-E-W-O-R-D, you'll get them letters from new door." People say, "But you said one word." And I said, "You didn't understand what I meant." You see, just because you interpret something some way from the Scriptures does not mean that God intended it to be interpreted that way. Hello? And if you miss it, you miss it. He ain't changing. Say, "Oh, well, I didn't mean to trick you here. I didn't mean to fool you here. Didn't mean for you to miss this, so I'll just go along with you. Your doctrine's got to go, you know, we'll just make that right." No, God don't do that. His Word is forever settled. You see, and He's not going to change His Word even if we've misunderstood His meanings. Even if we've been led to misunderstand by doctrines of devils. Hello? Any doctrine that doesn't lead to the life and the power of Jesus Christ is not a doctrine of God. If it does not produce life in us, it's not life. Hello? All right. Now, He said, "See if there be a man." What we have here, I've done shared with you a little bit, is a passage. It's a scripture that's very similar to the account in Genesis 1 and 2. And in Genesis, we have the heaven and the earth, the heaven being whatever. Now, here's, people want to know, well, what is heaven? People, heaven is, this is heaven. Heaven is the spiritual order that God is working in and lives, abides in. Now, you may not understand what I'm saying yet, but the heaven being the spiritual order there that was pre-Genesis 1, and the earth being the locality or the area of the landmass there that God was dealing with the people at that time. See, a lot of times people, you know, they think of the earth as the ball of mud. The earth is not the ball of mud, neither is heaven the sky necessarily when God speaks. I'm going to show you things that happened to heaven here in just a minute. But I want to show you something. When God began to judge Cain, he put a mark on Cain, and Cain said, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, this day thou hast driven me from the face of the earth." Well, what did he do? Go into Mars? No, he just went to the land of Nod. But the face of the earth was the area God was dealing with. You see, the locality God was dealing with. Earth there was the locality God was dealing with. He didn't go off the face of the earth. He didn't go off the world. It wasn't even talking about he'd been driven from the ball of mud. He just had to change localities. He was driven from the natural location where God was moving and operating in at that time. Now, having said that, I want to... Oh, my. We might need to cover the birds of heaven for just a moment. It says, "Lo, there was no man." Now, you got the birds of heaven over there in Genesis. You got the no man. You got the heaven and the earth. You got the darkness. And over here in Jeremiah, you've got that. And all of a sudden, God is changing languages. It means something totally different to us. But it's because we've been taught something else means a certain thing. And so, if, like I say, the Word of God will explain itself. You don't have to have the mind of man to give us the revelation of God. The revelation of God is in this book, but it takes the Spirit of God to within us. The Bible said it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the honor of kings to search it out. Right? So now, what, I could just show you right quick what the birds... He said the birds of heaven had fled. There wasn't no man, the birds of heaven had fled. Well, you know, you can find out what the... I don't think Jeremiah was talking about the natural birds of heaven. The natural birds that fly in the air over our heads and things of this nature. There's a lot more to it than that. But you can find out what the birds of heaven are in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, 32. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like this." The kingdom of heaven is like this. Which heaven? See, if you don't ask which heaven, you're going to miss the truth. You got to know which heaven. And to know which heaven, you got to know which world that heaven's in. Because every heaven, let me say it like this. Every world, every K-O-S-M-O-S, there's five Greek words that's translated world in the New Testament. But the one that is used the most is K-O-S-M-O-S, cosmos. And the next one that's used quite often is aeon, A-I-O-N. And so when we talk about, when you read your King James, it says world. But they have two totally different meanings. Actually, they have five totally different meanings in all five words. But it's translated world, and they got five different meanings. And if you just think of world the way we've been taught every time you read it, you're going to miss the truth. So you're not going to understand the truth. So like I say, every cosmos has a heaven and an earth. Now, you can find that in the book of Peter. But if we don't know which heaven and which earth, we've never been taught that heavens pass away, that they get old, that they're changed. We ain't been taught a lot of things that happens to heaven. We homeschool our children. And see, my son had, and my children's not been raised up in traditional religion. And I thank God for that. They don't have to. They're not struggling through the religious ideas and the first languages that. See, your first language, what always keeps coming back to mind first, and then you translate it back to the truth that you know now. And so they don't have to struggle through this. And there was a statement made in the book: "Won't heaven be wonderful?" And my wife said, "Don't you want to go?" And my son said, "No." And she said, "Why?" I said, "Daddy said it's going to burn up." Well, so does the Scriptures. But you better know which one. See, a lot of people wanting to go somewhere it's going to burn up. They think they're in the wrong place, wouldn't they? I'm telling you something. It's in your Bible, too. And there's such a confusion about it when we talk about the end time and the last days and the heavens and the earth. If we don't understand the end time, we don't understand the worlds and which world we're in and which heaven and earth that is available to us and that we're in, then we're going to miss the truth of God. And I've done said enough, you can see there ain't no way I can teach this in a few minutes. But every bit of it is line upon line upon line upon line upon line in the Scriptures. And it'll all tie together from Genesis to Revelation. God has one purpose in his heart and his mind, and that's for that he be revealed in this realm. So, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is least of all the seeds, but when it's grown, it's the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in it. Well, there we got the birds of heaven, birds of the air. Now in Mark chapter 4, verse 30, it says, fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. In Luke chapter 13, verse 18 and 19, we've got fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Now you might wonder who the birds of heaven are, what heavens they were in, because it's not talking about the natural sky. Okay? So, but Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 8 what the birds of heaven are. Luke chapter 8, verse 4 says, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of the city, he spake by parable. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down, and the fowls of air devoured it. Fowls of the air again. All right? They devoured it. Well, in verse 11 and 12, it tells us who the birds were. Now, the parable is this. It says, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear them. And then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart. He said, the birds of the air come and devoured it. The devil, is the demons and things of this nature, is the birds of the air. But what heaven were they in? See, we got to know these things. Otherwise, we're gonna fight things we don't have to fight. We're gonna deal with things we don't have to deal with. We're gonna be in an order that has already been changed, and we're gonna have one leg in an old and one in a new. And I'll tell you something. The Bible said he hath destroyed him that hath power over death. That is the devil. Ain't that right? Is that in your Bible? Let me march an army in front of you. And I know this is known as a deliverance camp, and I thank God for this camp. Thank God for Brother Glenn and all the faithful that labor here when there's not meetings. But in the process of deliverance, and you know, deliverance ain't always a choice for people. Everybody ought to be in deliverance ministry. Now, when I say deliverance ministry, I'm not talking about, as some people only makes that their only ministry. But the ministry of Jesus Christ delivers people. And the truth of God sets us free. We know the truth about Jesus. About Jesus. Find out the truth about Jesus. But like I say, when I found this out because, man, in areas of deliverance, you know, we used to have devils talk back to us and give us trouble and wrestle us around and said deliverance, you know, somebody said deliverance don't never start till 11 o'clock and that way it takes you to 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you know. It seemed like that's after service and after people talk and then finally when you're ready to go home and go to bed, things start taking place. Well, that seemed to be our experience. And we did not, we had success, but it's like pulling teeth without any painkiller. And I began to question the Lord. I said, Lord, I know this is not the way it's supposed to be. I know this. There's an Apostle Paul cast out devils different than even Jesus did. Now, I'll explain myself. I'm way off my notes. I don't know how I got here. But maybe I'll wander back here in a minute. Apostle Paul absolutely cast out devils different than Jesus. But let me march you an army that's getting ready to go to war, okay? They're all got their nice, they got their, you know, their military garb on, their suits and everything. Everything's clean. They're fresh. They got their guns. They're hot to go, okay? But then there's a battle, and they're whipped soundly, okay? Jesus defeated Satan. He destroyed him, rendered him powerless. He come and put away sin by the sacrifice of himself at the end of the world, the Scripture said. Now, you think Paul and us have to face the same army that Jesus defeated? Listen, it's not the same army anymore. You realize Satan argued with Jesus? Jesus said, hold thy peace and come out. And he said, well, hey, let's make a deal here. He didn't hold his peace and come out. He fussed with him and made a deal with him about going into the swine. Right? And so when people talk back to me and I'd say, come out of them in the name of Jesus, I don't have to. Well, I tried to find some scriptural reference for that, and I thought, my God, I don't like this experience. But then I thought, well, you know, they didn't just always jump to when Jesus said it. So I said, this must be normal. But I found out something. That's not normal. Jesus had not yet defeated him. But here's normal. Apostle Paul's preaching. There's a woman who had a spirit of divination. Huh? She follows him around. Hey, everybody, this is a servant of the Lord. Pretty soon, after a couple of days, Paul just got enough of it, didn't he? And he turned around and said, come out of her. And just went on. And they didn't even know that their moneymaker had been upset for a while. But when they realized that she had no more powers. Now, I'm telling you something. Jesus rose victorious over him that had power over death. He destroyed him. And it's a different ballgame. You march that same... Now, that same battle, that same army that thought they could defeat the Son of God, now they come back and their clothes are torn, their barrels on their weapons is bent, and they're just... They're defeated. That's the one we get to work with. And they can't work without a lie. They can't have no power without a lie. They got to get you to believe. They got to get you to give something up. Because you're not fighting to get nothing from God. He's already given it to you. Your fight is not to get. Your fight is to maintain. That's important. Because a lot of people are fighting to get their healing. They're fighting to get that. They're struggling to get this. But they don't need to struggle and they don't need to fight. And in that way, listen, the struggle in our mind is we're going to go back to the enemy's camp and steal and get back what he stole from us. Let me tell you something. If he stole your peace, you ain't going to find it in the devil's camp. Hello? Who is going to find peace? Who's going to find health in the enemy's camp? He ain't got your stuff. Yes, he's a thief. But listen, Satan can't give you peace. And you can't get it back from Satan. Because he ain't got it. Jesus has got your peace. And you need to go to the rock, Christ Jesus, and understand that you're not fighting to get something. It's already yours. You're not fighting to get something from so that you might obtain. Jesus done that for you. Walk in what he's made available for you. And I'll tell you something. And when the enemy shows his head, the sword of the Spirit, well, I don't want to get there. The sword of the Spirit is a defensive weapon. It's not just an offensive weapon. But I want us to see something here. Because the whole reason for the process we go through is because we don't understand what heaven and earth we're in, what cosmos we're in. You see. So let's get on into this then. Things that happen to heaven. In Job 26:11, it says the pillars of heaven tremble. In Revelation 3:12, he said, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Him that overcometh, didn't he? In 2 Samuel 22:8, I'm going to run fast. In 2 Samuel 22:8, the foundations of heaven moved and shook. In Job 15:15, it says the heavens are not clean in his sight. Which ones is that? In Psalms 69:34, it says, let the heavens and earth praise him. Then it says in 89:5, the heavens shall praise thy wonders. Then in Psalms 148:4, it says, praise him, you heavens of heavens. Well, who in the world's that? Just because it says heaven doesn't necessarily mean, like I said, I can say, make one word. Can you make one word out of the two words, new door? And people are struggling and put all them letters together and make one single word. But that ain't what I didn't say, make one single word. So, just because it says heaven does not necessarily mean what we think of and what we have been programmed to think of as heaven. Matter of fact, 1 Chronicles 16:31 says, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. That's emotions, folks. That's emotions. Praise him, you heavens. Well, what does God want his people to do? Psalms 96:11, let the heavens rejoice. Jeremiah 2:12 says, be astonished, O you heavens. Be astonished. And Revelation 18:20 says, rejoice over her, thou heaven. And you holy apostles and prophets, rejoice over her. Now, the heavens can hear. Do you know that? It says in Deuteronomy 32:1, it says, give ear, O you heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth. See, we've been taught that the heavens is the sky and space, and there's some place up there for us. and the earth is this ball of mud. I guess I'm going to have to read that scripture right quick in 1 Peter so that we can... Sometimes, you know, you hear something that'll hang you up. Have you ever done that? And you can't get you can't hardly see anything else till you get unhooked. 2 Peter, I'm sorry, chapter 3. It says, knowing this, first, that thou shalt come in the last days. First, we're going to have to identify where the last days was, and we'll do that in a minute. In the last days, there'll come scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Which creation? You're a new creation, right? You're a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. There's a brand new creation from the cross on. There's a whole new world. Oh, my. All right, let's go on here, though. This they willingly are ignorant. We talked about people that, you know, I tell the church, I said, look, it ain't nothing wrong being not knowing. That's what it means to be ignorant. But I said, there's one worse than not knowing, and that's to be willingly ignorant, and that's stupid. You know, it's bad to not know, because what you don't know hurts you. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge or understanding. But it's one thing. Listen, you know, I don't panic over anybody that don't know. Because I don't panic when I don't know something. Because if I don't know it, I can learn it. I can ask God. I can get in the book. I can listen to people. I can learn some things that I don't know. But I'm in trouble if I don't want to know. See? I'm in trouble if I want the status quo. I'm in trouble if I only want to defend what is familiar to me. But here he said, they're willingly ignorant that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. Which heavens? They were of old, and the earth, standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the cosmos, or the world, that then was, that cosmos had a heaven and an earth. But that cosmos perished. You know what? The sky didn't perish, neither did this ball of mud we call earth, or the land. But that heaven and earth perished. That spiritual order God operated in, and that natural way it was manifested, He brought an end to it. But, you got to understand, Peter is speaking 2,000 years ago to people who ain't even got their foot out of the law yet. They're still struggling trying to get the covenants changed. I understand the momentous struggle that they had. Apostle Paul had that struggle. They talked Paul into going and actually to deceiving the people. That's what was happening when he got caught and was arrested. Because, hey, he had been preaching, you don't need to keep the law. The law is not of faith. No man will be perfected by the law. That's what he'd been preaching. And when he comes to Jerusalem, James says, you know, the multitude, the people's been hearing what you've been saying. And he said, they're going to come together when they find out you're here. And he said, and they're zealous for the law. And he said, we got a couple of brethren that's getting ready to take a vow. Why don't you go down there and do this with them? If you go back over in the Old Testament, study, see what it takes for them to have a vow, they had to offer sacrifice. Paul put himself in a precarious position. And he was under pressure. But what I'm saying is, that ain't so tough when just before the cross, that's where it's supposed to be. See, it's easy for you to say, well, anybody ought to know better than that. Well, the early church, Peter didn't even know quick as certain ones from James showed up from Jerusalem, he took off and wouldn't sit with the Gentiles. He didn't even know that. They were still so involved with the law. And so Peter is talking here. You got to understand, he's talking from 2,000 years ago, from his time period. He said, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word are kept in store under fire against the day of judgment. Which heavens and earth are that? And which heaven and earth was judged by fire? I mean, we got to know these things, because now we've got Apostle Paul who was caught up in the third heaven. But how was he caught up in the third heaven? Into what covenant or spiritual order was he caught up to? He saw things unlawful for him to be uttered. Who was unlawful for who and what? Listen, every time he tried to talk about the new covenant, they wanted to kill him. He had been one who peddled the papers made it against the law for somebody to be a Christian. Right? Let's go on here. I said the heavens have emotions. The heavens sing, by the way. Isaiah 44:23. We're going to find out that heavens is even people in the Scriptures. You got to be led by the Spirit of God. You can't do a word study only on words and come up with the truth. It takes the Spirit of God to rightly divide and to discern when God is speaking what heaven is speaking about. Otherwise, we just lump everything in. We lump everything that's been said about the end of the world. We lump everything about the world, and we got us a conglomeration of a mess. You see, the Scriptures is more precise than this. He said in Isaiah 44:23, "Sing, O you heavens, for the Lord hath done it." In Isaiah 49:13, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth." And then he says, "Break forth into singing, O mountains." Wonder who that was. He ain't talking to natural. Listen, God is a spiritual God, and He uses symbolic language to say things. And if we misunderstand that, see, I've had people, and I don't mean to, listen, I don't mean to hurt anybody. Don't mean to make anybody mad. Please don't get mad at me about this, okay? But I'm going to make a statement that I used to preach it, and I preached it because I had it preached to me, or used to teach it. Before the Lord called me to be a teacher, I was one of them kicking high, swinging, walk the top of the benches preachers. You know, I couldn't stand still no time. I was excited, and the Lord slowed me down. And of course, I realized, you know, you'd get people all shouting happy holler, and they didn't know what you said when they went out the door. And I realized, I don't care, you know, it doesn't bother me if somebody gets mad or if they get glad if they go home and study and hear and they know what I said, I've done some good. See, that's the important thing, is to get the message that God has for us across and get people back in the book instead of just believing everything that's been said from the pulpit or something. Now, having said that, I lost my train of thought. Let me go on here. Huh? Yes. That's not where I was at, though, in my mind. Oh, okay, I want to make this statement, then I'll get on back. Yeah, I knew I was going to make a statement here. See, I used to say, thank you. I used to say, bless God, I want to tell you, the Bible says what it means and means what it says. The Lord, He talks to me. He said, you better evaluate that statement. Okay. I felt pretty confident that was truth. Didn't bother me to evaluate that. And He said, how long has it been since you eat my flesh and drink my blood? Now, if it means what it says, that except you eat His flesh and drink His blood, you have no life in you, then you better get to finding some or you ain't got no life in you. That's going to make you a cannibal, by the way. It don't mean what it says. It has a meaning to what it says. Now, I know this goes against our religious, you know. It went against mine. I don't mind going against somebody that done went against mine anyway. You know, we all have to cross paths in that sense. But, and it says, and the trees clapped their hands. And I've heard preachers say, oh, well, that's because that was the Lord wind blowing and the leaves or the branches hitting each other. Come on, you're putting a meaning to that. That ain't what it said. Huh? But when we understand that many places in the Scriptures, men are trees, it makes sense. So it don't listen, the Bible does not mean what it says, it does not say what it means. It has a meaning to what it says. If it says exactly what it means, then you need no spirit to understand it. See? And that's what's happening today is natural carnal-minded people are trying to explain the Scriptures without a spiritual understanding of what God is speaking to the church. Now, do you realize the heavens stand up? Isaiah 48:13 says, my hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I called unto them, they stand up together. The heavens are planted. In Isaiah 51:16, I've covered thee in the shadow of my hand that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundation of the earth and say to Zion, you're my people. Spiritual language all the way through. Symbolic language all the way through. If every time you read that you think of the ball of mud and the sky out there, you're missing what God's saying. The heavens are open in Malachi 3:10. He said, I will open in you the windows of heaven. So heaven's got windows. Matthew 3:16-17 said the heavens were opened unto Jesus. The heavens were opened. I mean, there's many places that the heavens open. Isn't it strange? Stephen, when he was being stoned, he said, I see the heavens open. I didn't, you know, 20/20 vision can't see the other side of Mars. That's where, you know, people think it's out of sight, they can't see it, and all of a sudden Stephen's seeing it. And he's impaired really because he's being stoned. So he ain't seeing nothing with natural eyes. He's seeing with the vision. He's walking by the light of the Lamb, isn't he, to see that. Now, Matthew 3:2 says the realm of heaven is at hand. At hand. What's at hand? Anybody know what at hand means? When something is at hand, you can reach it. You can reach it. When it's at hand, you can get a hold of it. If it's not at hand, it's out of reach. It's within reach. when it's at hand. Whether it be time-wise, natural-wise, or anything else, if something is at hand, if you can reach it. Jesus said, or in Matthew 3 and 2, it says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand." Matthew 4 and 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the realm or the kingdom of heaven," the word kingdom is realm, "the realm of heaven is at hand." It was within reach of people, but He was preaching to people under the law, under a certain, in a different world than what we're in. And every world's got its spiritual and its natural order. See, it's heaven and it's earth. And if we don't understand which heaven and which earth that we're in, and by the way, every cosmos has its aeon. You know what I'm talking about? Every cosmos has its time period. Now, Jesus, that's why the book in Hebrews chapter 9, it says, "Once in the end of the world, He hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." That's the word aeon. Once in the end of the age, what age? The age, every world's got its time. Every cosmos has its time. But what happened, but when time is, listen, time, there was a time in that world when time was no more. See, you got to understand what God is saying. That time was up. You ever took a test in school and they say, "Time's up. Put your pencil down, turn your paper over. No more time. Time's no more." Well, there come a time when God judged that world, not only through the blood of Jesus, but through the fire of the Holy Ghost. And He made His ministers a flame of fire, and they set that world on fire. They literally, listen, and it passed with a loud noise. They did not; it didn't pass quietly. They, my goodness, look how many martyrs there were through that thing. That old heaven, that second heaven, I've got a chart here that I just brought one. I meant to bring a bunch of them, and I didn't. But I've got a chart here of first, second, and third heaven. First, second, and third world. First, second, and third earth. First, second, and third creation. And showing us that God has brought forth three creations, three worlds that we have a record of. But now we've only got a record of the book of the generations of Adam. That's what it says in chapter 5 of Adam, of Genesis. So, but this is all that's all that we need to deal with. That's all He's give us. And you know what? We're having a struggle dealing with that. So we don't need to speculate too far, you know, in any other direction. If we can deal with what we got, but we're missing the life of God and what we got. I'm telling you something, we've traded religion. If you can hear my heart is not battling people's doctrines. My heart is to get us out of this death realm. We say we're saved while we're living in a fallen realm. Lord, give me a chart on that too. What are you saved from? People don't even know what they're saved from. They don't know what they're lost to. Why they needed to be saved. What did Jesus redeem? What does that mean? Redeem from what? Why did we need redeem? Well, because Adam sinned. Well, yeah, but you know, how did death get here? And what was the purpose of the cross? You realize the church world right now, today, acts as if the cross has never happened. They got the same message that the house of Israel had before the cross happened. Oh, hear me. Please hear me. They got the same message. We're preaching the same message across the radio waves and everything. Listen. Their message was the Messiah's coming. Their message was one of these days there'll be a resurrection. Well, you heard Martha say that, didn't you? To Jesus, well, we know in the last days, in the time of the day of the resurrection, well, He'll raise. And Jesus took away her future resurrection. He said, "I am." Now she had to deal with the resurrection standing in front of her, showing it wasn't time frame at all in that. It was Christ. He's the end of the law. You see, the order changed. See, there's lots of different words that people use, but literally what it was a world. It was a spiritual and a natural order that God had instituted and brought forth until Christ. And He judged that world, and He brought an end to that world. But like I say, under the law, they looked for a utopia. Oh, one of these days, the Messiah's coming, He's going to set up a kingdom. Sound like today. It's like Jesus never has come. It's like the cross hadn't even happened. I'm telling you, if we ain't heard the surface lie, then I don't know what it is. We have absolute. The Holy Ghost has been given. God has took up His abode in His people, and they act like Eve, that they got a struggle. There's something for them to go get that God has withheld from them. We've got our mind on everything but Christ, everything but Jesus. And you know, I've been called, "Oh, you're just a little Jesus preacher." That's all right. I don't mind being a little Jesus preacher. Because he's the hope of the whole world. Listen, without him, no man can come to the Father. You will not get into the spirit realm without Jesus. So I don't mind being called. Listen, the Bible tells me that he that hath the Son, which is Jesus, he hath life. So, you know, what's wrong with being a life preacher? I'd rather be that than a death preacher. And let me tell you something. A lot of what people are preaching and teaching, and they give people no hope. Their hope's always tomorrow. That's not our hope. Our hope never was tomorrow, and our hope ain't getting to heaven. Our hope ain't leaving here. Our hope is not something in the future. Every bit of that kind of stuff is unscriptural. The Bible plainly tells us what our hope is. It says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. What glory? Glory's not a place to go to. The Apostle Paul said, the glory shall be revealed in us. So Christ in you is the hope. That word hope is really in the Greek expectation. Christ in you is the expectation of the glory of God revealed in us. And that does no harm to the Scripture to make that statement like that. Matthew 10 and 7, Jesus told them, he said, as you go, preach, saying, the realm of heaven is at hand. Then Matthew 6 and 10, 9 and 10, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And he said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy realm come. Hey, it's coming. Pray that way. It come. Not stay somewhere else, but come. Thy will be done in earth, in the natural, as it is in heaven or in the spiritual. Oh, my, my, my. Let's go on. Isaiah 13, 13, God said, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of His fierce anger. If you just study the judgments of the Lord and the judgment on the house of Israel, you'll find out when the day of His fierce anger was. Joel chapter 2 and 10 says, the earth shall shake or quake before them, and the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And I just got to where I wanted to start. All right. Lord have mercy on me and on you. All right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. There you got Moses and Jesus. But Jesus didn't speak from heaven. He spoke from heaven, but he was standing on the earth when he spoke from heaven. And Moses, you got to understand, Moses was, you got a heaven and an earth there. You've got an order that it was glorious, but it had no glory in comparison with the glory that we had. So it compared him as being on the earth and Jesus as being in heaven there. Let's go on here, though. It says, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we're receiving a kingdom, a realm, that cannot be moved. We missed that in the church, didn't we? We was robbed of that, folks. I'm telling you, we were robbed of that truth, and we got to, and the enemy, the lie of the enemy got us to looking for a kingdom. Because Jesus identified, it says we're receiving a kingdom here in the book of Hebrews, and Jesus said the kingdom of God is in you. The realm of God, or the realm of spirit is in you. We're receiving a kingdom. And we've been taught that everything else was the kingdom that what really is. I'm telling you something. You don't even have to have righteous people in government. Don't get me wrong. I believe in righteous people in government, and I pray for our leaders. And I want righteous people. I encourage our young people in our church and stuff. I said, I hope some of them grows up to be godly politicians. We need some godly politicians. We need somebody to step up to the plate, take the heat, and stand strong for God. So, but you got to understand, with the kingdom of God in you, your ungodly politicians can't even stop you. There were some ungodly politicians that put Peter in jail. But there was an angel of the Lord that come and said, stand to your feet, and the chains fell off. Right? There were some ungodly politicians. Because that's what they were, was politicians. It was a political thing. You got to understand, the priesthood and the law and things, they was fighting for their territory. They put Apostle Paul in jail, and an earthquake happened. I'm telling you, it don't even take natural things. What you got to do is stay connected to the true vine and bring forth some fruit. See, that's where the life is at. That's where it's at. Now, there's a reason for shaking these things. It says we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. See, everybody's got the heaven and earth in the future being shook, and we don't understand that God shook that second world of the law, and He shook that spiritual order, and everything that could be shook was shook. And everything that could be removed was removed. And it was removed, but we're receiving a realm or of heaven that cannot be moved. It can't be shook. How can you... The Lord asked me this, as a matter of fact, because I was putting this somewhere else, and the Lord chewed me out about it. He said, how dare you say that what I paid for with my blood can be shook? I said, I repent, Lord. I want to be tender to the Lord, you know, and I didn't even understand what He said at first. But you know what? When the Lord speaks to me, I want to be tender to the voice of the Lord. I don't want to stand and argue with Him. Because I know He's right, and I know His voice. I may not understand that He's right yet, but I know He's right. And so I go back and I study, and I say, all right, Lord, Your Word will back up what You spoke to me if we go back and look it out. All right, heaven passes away. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Lord, let's go quickly. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, now get this, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. Heaven and earth's got to pass before anything of the law passes. That ought to be a revelation to some. If I ask how many believe we're under the law and not under grace, nobody would raise their hand, I hope. If everybody said, if I ask how many of you believe that the law has passed, I hope you'd say yes, because I'm going to show you here in the Scriptures many places that Apostle Paul believed it had passed. Well, it says, till heaven and earth pass, the law, none of the law can. That's in your Bible too, so you're going to have to deal with it now. In other words, there's a heaven and earth had to pass, or the law couldn't pass. Well, when did that... You know what? Nobody even preaches about that heaven and earth that passed. Ain't never heard anybody. I've never heard anybody preach about that second heaven and earth passing. But it's there. It's there. Listen, if the law passed away, then heaven and earth did too. Now, in Job chapter 14, verse 12, it says, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. Which ones? They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Now, the question, did the law end? If it did, then heaven and earth passed away. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7, verse 1. We'll read through 4 right quick. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. Now, you know who the husband was here? The husband was Jehovah God. What did he tell Israel? For I am married unto thee. Right? But the law kept them married. Now, look here. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. What people don't realize, and I hope I don't hurt somebody or don't want to offend anybody, but for all general purposes, God died so that He could be married to the church. See, now, I've heard people stand up and say, I heard a well-known preacher stand up and say, God has His wife and Jesus has His wife. Does not compute, you know. That's what they say. Because God was married. See, they were struggling. They know that God couldn't be married to the church because He already had a covenant. Ah, now are you getting... Look here. The law hath dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she'll be called an adulteress. You know what? The house of Israel, the people, the Jews, and of the 12 tribes of Israel could not be married unto Christ as long as Jehovah God, as they knowed Him in that nature, lived. But God died for us, and He died to be free from that covenant. Listen, He took the place of man and God. Jesus did. From both, let's go on here, I'll show you, let me show you. If her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she'll be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brother, now he tells what he's really talking about, you are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. In other words, because Christ died, you died to the law that kept them married. They're already married. Now look what it says. You become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead. So now Apostle Paul had this revelation. He got this revelation, and he said he considered them all, both Jews and Gentiles, under sin, so that we might all. In other words, everybody has to come through Jesus. Romans 10 and 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Now in 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 18, it says, "For if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious," what was that written and engraved in stones? It was the law. And it calls it the ministration of death. You know why it's called it the ministration of death? Let me tell you something. There was a time it was called perfect, it was called good, but every heaven, when it has reached its end, it gets old. And if it tries to tarry longer than what God intended for it to, every spiritual order, then it becomes God's enemy. It's kind of like this. Amazing Grace. I love that song. But the church world has really messed this up. And I'll show you how. When a child gets born, when our little boy back there is 8 years old now, when he was born, my God, Amazing Grace, a beautiful baby boy. But you know what? I wouldn't be saying Amazing Grace 8 years later if he's still a little baby. I'll be saying, "Oh God, help us. Oh God, what's happened?" I'd be calling on... Listen, see, Amazing Grace, amazing is only amazing if we continue on. But where the church has been stuck for hundreds of years, it's got where it's not so amazing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If a child is born, it's wonderful. When a child, goes to his first day of school, oh man, it's wonderful. How you doing? But you know what? If they stay in that grade 12 years from now, you don't feel the same way. Nor did God. It was time for a change of a spiritual order. It was time for a cosmos to be changed. And that heaven and that earth passed, and it was burned up. Fire of the Holy Ghost, He made His ministers a flame of fire. He took that which had not bore fruit, and He cast it into the fire. Matter of fact. But it says, now, the ministration of death written engraved in stones, verse 11 says, "For if that which is done away was glorious," what was done away? Well, the reason I said all that, because Jesus said, and I guess He knows, till heaven and earth pass, in other words, heaven and earth has to pass before one jot or one tittle of the law can pass. And I just scratched the surface here, but like I say, just barely getting started. But Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, "I don't frustrate the grace of God." Paul said, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That's pretty stout talk. In other words, there is no righteousness going to come from the law. Galatians 3, 10 through 12, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." Verse 12 says, "And the law is not of faith." Why would I try to prop up something that's not of faith? Because Romans 14, 23 says, "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." You realize to try to keep the law today is sin. Try to get your righteousness by the law is sin. It's not of faith. I'm showing you something. He said, till heaven and earth pass, none of the law can be done away with. But he said also, without faith it's impossible to please Him. But in Galatians 3 and 12 it says, the law is not of faith. So how can I please God with something that's not there? Actually, see, you can't try to keep the law today because it ain't there. It's gone. God put an end to that. This is a new covenant. We're in a new covenant. Now, we can try to keep the principles of that. And the thing is, first thing we know, we end up with 11 of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and Herod. There's three leavens that Jesus said. He said, you beware. One place He said there's 11 of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Another place said the Pharisees and Herod. There's three leavens, and what He was really saying to them was, if you take a hold of this leaven, it's going to stop the power of God from working in your life. And that's exactly what we saw in the church. Maybe one of these days I can come and teach on the three leavens. But heavens get old and pass away. And matter of fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, "The Lord in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, the heavens are the work of thy hands, and they shall perish." What beginning? Because He brought an end to, what did Peter say? He said, the world that then was perished. The heavens being of old, and the earth standing in the water, now the water of the world then was perished. That one passed. There was another one come forth. There had to be a foundation or beginning of the next one when Noah come across on the boat, right? That was a beginning. And God gave Noah a charge like He gave Adam. Remember that? Okay, so now
It says he laid this, and now he says they shall perish. What? The heavens and the are the works of thy hand. The heavens, that the work of your hand is going to perish. That's what God said. The work of his hand was going to perish. The heaven. But you know what? I don't have time to take you to it, but there's a heaven that's going to remain. It said they'll remain in his sight. They'll never pass away. It says, as a vesture, they wax old as a garment. As a vesture, you'll fold them up and they shall be changed. He's talking about the heavens, but thou art the same. And thy years shall not fail. Now, this is talking about the law. It's evident by the scripture in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13, and we could go through 9 and 1. It says, in that he saith a new covenant, he's made the first old. Now, that which decayeth, he's talking about the covenant, decayeth and waxeth old, is ready to vanish away. What happened to the heavens? They wax old. They're folded up. They're changed. That's what he did with that covenant. Then verily the first covenant had ordinances of the divine service. That's the heaven. That's the spirit. And a worldly sanctuary. That was the earth. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to... There's with the time frame I'm in, I think I'll leave it right there. I would... I'll quote you a scripture right quick. Romans or Revelation 21. One, I, John, let me see, quoted it thousands of times, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Well, the first heaven and the first earth, that word first, if you look it up in the Greek, you'll find out it's also former. Former heaven and the former earth, the one previous to, had passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, go back into the Old Testament and find out what the sea is. I can show you what the sea is. Exodus 30, 17, 1 Kings 7, 23. You'll find out, 2 Chronicles, there's 15, 20 scriptures tells you what the sea is, showing you it's a changing of the covenant. And Apostle John was not looking to the future. He was looking to what the cross had done. It had changed the world. And matter of fact, you know, we could go down this thing verse by verse. We're going to find out we're the holy city. We were born from above. We come down from above. Listen, this come down from God. It come from a spiritual realm into a natural order here. And we're going to find out also that she's prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. How many of you, see, I think I did this here last time I was here, but how many of you are a child of God? Was you born out of wedlock? Well, see, the church world, the religious system still got the marriage to take place. But if you've been born of the Spirit, you ain't been born out of wedlock. I'm telling you, we've got some messed up doctrines. We've got and what we've done is we've twisted things to make everything fit what we wanted, the stories of man, and it don't fit the book. We just pull scriptures out of context and things. You can't be a child of God out of wedlock. God doesn't do that. But so, you know, when I realized that, I thought, my God, I missed it again. It's like this, you know, oh no, because I knew it was going to change a whole bunch of things that I didn't want to have to deal with. But you know what? Because like I said, listen, you either love the truth or you don't. You're either going to be tender to the Lord and true to God, Brother Glenn, or you're not. God bless you. I hope that you've been blessed. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for the life that you've given us. We're thankful, Lord, for the enlightenment that you give. Lord, that your words bring light to our hearts. I'm thankful, Lord, for the natural provision that you provided for us. We pray that you bless this food to our body. We thank you for health and strength. Lord, we speak blessing upon this people in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.